A Contra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Contra AI. Welcome back. You're with us for a deep dive today, and we're looking at, well, just phenomenal work. Hanif Abdurraqib's A Little Devil in America, in praise of Black performance.
It really is something special, and our goal here, our mission, is maybe to unpack some of its richness. Because Abdurraqib is arguing something quite profound, you know, that Black performance isn't just entertainment.
Right.
It's a language, a really necessary one for survival, for defining oneself, and importantly, for finding joy. It's all tangled together.
It completely makes you rethink what performance even means, doesn't it? Like you think stage, lights.
Mm.
But he's saying, look closer. Look at the living room, a card game. Even just how someone walks down the street with a certain flair. He calls these everyday acts small miracles. That really stuck with me.
And that shift in perspective is, I think, why this book feels so vital right now. If you want to get the nuances of American culture, it's history. You have to understand these performances. They're like living artifacts, whether it's, you know, the Soul Train line or the banter over a spades game.
Okay, so let's get into it. We should probably start with the person guiding us, right? Who is Hanif Abdurraqib? What gives him this particular lens?
Well, he's a really acclaimed American poet, essayist, cultural critic, originally from Columbus, Ohio. A lot of people might know his earlier book on a tribe called Quest, Go Ahead in the Rain.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And what I find so compelling about his writing, his style, is that he's not like a detached academic observing from afar.
Thanks.
He's got the historian's rigor, sure, he knows the details, but he writes with the feeling, the soul, of a poet, and also just the sheer passion of a fan.
And that mix is key, isn't it? He writes from inside the culture you're talking about. So memoir gets woven into the analysis, and that lets him get at the emotional, sometimes even the spiritual weight of performance. Yeah. So when he writes about, say, a backup singer or a boxer, it's not just describing what they did. He pulls out the nuance in a gesture, the history embedded in it, maybe even the psychic toll it takes.
Okay, so the book itself, you mentioned it's structured into five movements. It sounds almost like a piece of music. What's the main thread pulling it all together?
It's definitely not a straight line history. It's more like a constellation of essays, stories, all circling around similar ideas. It feels like a love letter, really, celebrating performers, athletes, just everyday folks. But the core, I'd say, is this tension.
Tension between what?
Between trauma and transcendence, maybe, or between survival and joy. The book really digs into how Black performance is always kind of negotiating identity. On one hand, there's the constant pressure of the white gaze, you know.
That feeling of being watched, judged by the dominant culture.
Right. And that often forces the creation of what he calls the mask, this sort of dual identity you need just to navigate and succeed in white spaces.
But, and I think this is crucial, the book isn't only about that weight, that pressure.
Oh, absolutely not. That's the other side of the tension. He spends so much time celebrating the pure, uninhibited joy and freedom found away from that gaze. And he sees that joy not as just like downtime or escape, but as fundamentally radical. Acts of self-preservation, acts of political resistance, even. So that's the journey, connecting all these seemingly different things, Josephine Baker, Mike Tyson, a spades game, with this thread of resilience.
Okay, let's walk through some of those stories. Movement is called Performing Miracles. That title alone sets the stage, doesn't it? It really does. The thesis is right there. Just to perform, to exist with flair under that historical weight and scrutiny, is a miracle. And the big figure he uses here is Josephine Baker, her move to Paris.
Yeah, leaving segregated America. And a performance there was so complex, she kind of played into but also twisted the exotic fantasies Europeans projected onto her. It was a way to build an identity away from American racism, but, well, it had its own complications.
And he connects that big stage performance back to smaller historical acts too, right? Like the cakewalk.
Exactly. Which wasn't just some fun dance. Originally, it was enslaved people subtly mocking the stiff, formal promenades of their white owners. Performance as satire, as quiet defiance. That idea of defiance leads straight into movement, too. Matters of the flesh, which it sounds like it focuses on the body.
It does. The Black body as this site of, wow, incredible power, but also intense vulnerability and scrutiny.
And that's where Mike Tyson comes in.
Mm-hmm. Abdurraqib looks past the easy media narrative, you know, Tyson the brute. He digs into the deep rage, the pain that seemed to fuel Tyson's performance in the ring, seeing it as this almost tragic expression of trauma turned into physical power.
Yeah.
The body gets celebrated, but the actual person, the complexity gets ignored, that vulnerability, that exposure. It feels like a natural lead-in to movement three, the mask, definitely. And the central devastating figure here is Burt Williams, an incredibly talented black performer, a huge star in the early 1900s.
They were performing blackface. Yeah. A grotesque caricature of black people forced on him for mainstream success. Abdur-Aqib really drives home the psychological toll, the damage of performing that caricature just to make it.
It's painful to read about. But he doesn't just leave it in the past, does he? He connects it forward.
And that's one of the most powerful moves in the book, I think. He links Williams's dilemma directly to Dave Chappelle walking away from his hugely successful show.
Right.
Abdur-Aqib suggests Chappelle saw the danger line when his white audience wasn't laughing with his critique of racism anymore, but laughing at black stereotypes, believing the mask. So Chappelle chose to step away, maybe to protect himself, the person beneath that performance.
So the first few movements grapple with the pressure, the gaze, the mask. Mm. The later ones seem to shift towards healing and escape. Movement fourth is grief.
Yeah, and it looks at performance as this vital way to process loss and remember. He finds it in really communal spaces. His writing about the black funeral is just incredibly moving.
How so?
He frames it not as this quiet, somber thing, but as an active, vocal, life-affirming performance, where deep sorrow and loud celebration can actually coexist publicly. It's about the community holding on to each other.
And he also lifts up figures who maybe weren't always seen, right? Like Mary Clayton.
Oh, yes. The backup singer on the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter, that raw voice-cracking scream she lets out, he holds that up as pure, unfiltered emotional performance, a moment celebrating the power of black women's voices that have often gone uncredited but have like fueled so much American music. Incredible. And then finally, Movement v. Joy. This feels like the culmination. It absolutely is. The focus shifts entirely to spaces created by and for black people, spaces free from that white gaze.
And the prime example has to be the Soul Train dance line.
Iconic. And he has this amazing line. It wasn't just a walkway, it was a runway to the future. Like this vibrant, self-contained world of black style, creativity, communal joy, pure ecstasy. That insistence on joy being radical, political.
Yeah.
That really ties everything together.
And he even brings it down to the everyday, like a game of spades.
Yeah. Elevating it to an art form. The strategy, sure, but also the trash talk, the rituals around it. That's performance, too, a performance that builds community and passes down culture.
Okay, so boiling this down, if listeners take away a few key themes, what should they be? The first one feels obvious now. Joy as an act of defiant resistance. Absolutely, that's central. In a culture that can often try to define blackness only through struggle or pain, expressing open, uninhibited joy, dancing, laughing, creating, it's a powerful refusal. It's saying we are more than our suffering. It actually creates something new.
And running alongside that, maybe in tension with it, is the theme of the enduring weight of the white gaze and the mask.
Right. That pressure of being watched, interpreted, often misinterpreted, it doesn't just go away. It shapes how creators, even today, have to navigate their work. That difficult balance between being authentic and meeting or subverting audience expectations. That duality is exhausting.
And the third thing, which we keep coming back to, is the sacredness of communal and everyday rituals. Mm-hmm. The book really makes you appreciate the artistry in everyday life, the way people talk, dress, move together in community spaces. These aren't trivial things. They're vital performances that strengthen bonds and keep traditions alive. They're sacred in their own way.
Abdur-Aqib's background as a poet really shines through. The writing itself is just beautiful, and there are lines that just stick with you. Oh, totally. His phrasing is incredible. One idea that really captures that resilience we talked about is something like, in America, for a black person to perform, to simply exist with flair and defiance, is a small miracle. Yeah, that hits hard. It's not just about talent, it's about survival against the odds. It forces you to see the history behind the smile or the dance move, and then about those liberated spaces like Soul Train. The Soul Train line was not a walkway, it was a runway to the future. That image of it being a portal to possibility created entirely by black joy is so powerful. And that line about the mask, the danger it poses to the performer themselves, it goes something like, the greatest danger is not that the audience will believe the mask, but that the performer will forget the face beneath it. Ooh, yeah. That captures the deep psychological risk, right? Losing yourself in the performance demanded of you. So thinking practically now, how can listeners take these insights and, you know, apply them? What changes?
Well, one big thing is maybe developing deeper media literacy. After reading this, or even just hearing about it, you might watch performances differently. You start asking, okay, who is this really for? Is there something happening here that's coded, that's meant for a specific community within the audience? What history is packed into that gesture or even that silence? That makes sense. And beyond media, it seems like it could foster enhanced empathy and social understanding, maybe particularly for non-Black listeners.
I think so, yeah. Understanding the constant negotiation involved with the white gaze and the mask, it makes the abstract idea of code switching feel much more concrete. It helps you appreciate the daily calculus, the energy it takes for people of color navigating spaces where they're in the minority, whether it's work or just social settings.
And maybe on a more personal level, perhaps it encourages reframing joy as a necessary practice. The book is such a powerful reminder that seeking out and creating moments of celebration, community, and just pure fun, it's not extra. It's not an indulgence. It's vital. It's like fuel for resilience and wellness. Maybe it gives you permission to consciously build more of that into your life.
You know, what really surprised me, or what I loved most digging into this, was how Abdurraqib expands the whole definition of performance. It's not just on a stage. It's in the way you carry yourself, the way you talk, the way you connect. It's survival. It's community building. It's sacred.
Yeah, for me, the book's real genius is how it connects the historical weight, the pain of the mask, with the ongoing, vibrant, undeniable brilliance of Black cultural expression. It insists on telling these stories with love, with complexity. So the takeaway, maybe it's just start seeing the genius in those everyday cultural acts all around you.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.